It's Jerome here. We're joined by Ryan McDonald. Also got Taylor McKeeman in studio. Don't know if he's not quite ready to talk, but we might be able to get him to talk here just a little bit later. So for anybody who's listening, in case you hear a third voice chime in, that's what we got going on here. So how you guys doing this morning?
Doing really good.
Good. So you got that fight coming up here pretty soon. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other stuff too. Just wanted to be able to have a conversation with you because it seems like every time you come in and talk, we do a regular standard interview, but there's always like we end up talking off the air too. So
for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of get a little bit of an expanded view as to where your head's at for the fight, other things like that. So
yeah, I think we never get to cover as much in that short amount of time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because there's all sorts of stuff going on, and
right,
I like to talk.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, speaking of all the stuff going on top of the fight, as we've mentioned, you're a small business owner.
Correct.
You got 6-9 one-on-one, your MMA gym downtown. You, this past weekend had a women's self-defense thing. Are you planning on doing more stuff like that?
Yeah. Depending on if we can get, more of a turnout, I'll probably do them every 4 to 6 months.
Right.
Somewhere around there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's important for women to know. I mean, taking MMA classes and stuff like that, that might not be for every lady, but
right.
Learning basic self-defense tactics, because as we've seen, kind of a sick world out there.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Got to be careful.
A lot of the stuff I cover, too, is just a very entry-level MMA class, like something I would show, like, day one guys at the gym that still works, you know. But it's just coming from positions that would happen in a rape type scenario, or a self-defense scenario, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like getting choked, held against the wall, grabbed, you know, in between their legs or behind them, stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Those kinds of dangerous scenarios that a lot of people aren't ready for. So
for sure.
So you teach that at your gym. You just started doing that. But obviously you also teach MMA. So immersing yourself in the training and training other people helps with your fights, obviously.
For sure. Being an instructor, you have to know the technique for what it's worth. To be able to teach it, you have to know every fine little detail, you know, a fraction of an inch to know, you know, how to get somebody to perform it well, you know?
Right.
So if you know that, then you can do it, you know, chances are.
Now, being an instructor, this is something I wanted to ask you. How do you keep yourself from falling into a trap that some people could fall into where you're teaching, but you're not necessarily learning new techniques or learning new things? How do you keep yourself, and you don't strike me as the kind of guy who has an ego, like, I've got it all together, I know all this shit.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean? Like,
far from it.
Right. But also, at the same time, you're like, how do you keep from not being that guy and like, oh, I know how to do all this and keep learning while teaching?
Well, the cool thing is like, my jiu-jitsu coach, Adam Lee, he does our advanced jiu-jitsu and he's phenomenal. He's the best grappler within, 200, 300 miles, you know, and he's phenomenal. Like he wins tournaments out in Omaha, wins them out in Denver. Like he's a great grappler.
Yeah.
And putting him in charge of the jiu-jitsu was the first thing that really, like, because at the other gym, you know, he wasn't quite involved with coaching, and he was sometimes, and it was just kind of up in the air, but making him that head jiu-jitsu coach, you know, he has turned our game into, it's complete night and day,
yeah.
You know? And then traveling, I do a lot of traveling to learn. I've got a coach out in Omaha, Matt Bentley is his name, who I really respect in striking. And then I subscribe to like a lot of different YouTube channels and a lot of online universities as far as like striking and wrestling go.
Okay.
So yeah, I got knowledge coming in at, like, everywhere.
Right. And I'm sure doing it every day, you may learn new techniques and new tricks and things like that.
Yeah, and make stuff up along the way. If it works, and you know, I can't see a counter to it. I've made up some different moves too.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah.
Well, you got to innovate too. You got to do something that the other guy's not expecting or hasn't seen before. So, And obviously all of this leading up to, you know, your fight coming up here on the 21st. Not too long away, about a week and a half out. So I know you're focused on this, you're ready to go, but as we've mentioned before, the title of the fight is In Memoriam. It's the first fight after losing your brother. Mm-hmm. In your own words, how is that affecting you?
I use it as positive motivation just because, you know, like, and it's great that he was such a, musician, because I can really jam out to his music and that puts me in a zone where, you know, I can just go that much harder and use it as positive motivation to work harder. And like I said before, you know, I'm really fighting for two,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just all the more, inspiring to see, you know, to see how hard he worked in his music career. And then push that forward into my fighting career.
Right. You so it, you're just turning it such a negative and un, you know, something that most of us would hate to have to go through, you know, right. And you're turning it into a positive thing. And that's something I got to say that I admire about what you do, because you've taken some dark, not just this, but again, we've talked off the air, you know, you're pretty open about it. You had a little bit of trouble when you were younger, mm-hmm. stuff that other people may have gone down a dark road or a bad road with that. Right. You decided to use it to build something positive, not just in your life, but also in the community,
mm-hmm.
Especially being a small gym owner and those kinds of things. So, you know, that's awesome that you're able to do that. And I think it's really cool that you are bringing, because, I mean, let's be honest, there's another gym in town, you know what I mean,
that
teaches MMA and stuff. I think it's great that you decided to go your own way, do your own thing, mm-hmm. little healthy competition there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have you found that it's been beneficial to the community that you've seen?
For sure. I think, you know, there's kind of a lot of martial arts gyms like that I think about, you know, around mm-hmm. here. We got Inner Power.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's a bunch of different taekwondo programs. Is it Roger Fries?
Believe so.
Yeah, he's got one in the rec center.
Okay, yeah.
And Alan Scott, he's doing his thing up at Top Tier and with their taekwondo program. But yeah, as far as like the competition side, you know, you see the guys that they'll go over there into mm-hmm. the other gym and they'll, you know, they'll try out maybe their free week at the other gym and their free week at our gym. But really, if you're competing and, you know, you want to be successful, we got, you know, they don't have any active fighters anymore.
Yeah.
And we have close to 30 fighters if everybody shows up. And
right.
And, you know, that's a huge difference in itself, you know. And the caliber and the most important thing of anything is that we're drilling new techniques every day, you
right.
know, and finding it, because there's so many different things out there that work differently. Like something that works for me isn't going to work for you. And something that works for you isn't going to work for me just because we have different body types.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to try the thousand different things to see what works out for me or Taylor, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever been training, or even in a fight, if there's an instance in a fight, where, like you said, what may work for one may not work for another, and you've talked about innovating moves and stuff. Have you ever tried something and it doesn't work, but it's not something you can hit the reset button on? You know what I mean? Like, it's not something you can go, okay, hold on, let me step back and try this again. It's something that didn't work in that moment, and what was going through your mind, especially if it was, like, in a fight? Like, did that ever happen?
Yeah, sometimes, like, I'll some moves that I hit in practice all the time, like, if I go out there and maybe they've seen me do it in a previous fight and they might counter it.
Yeah.
Or know, you know, what to do to stop it. And so then you have to find the counter to a counter. So it's like chess. It's like any board game, you know, you got to outsmart your opponent or have that backup move, you know. That's why I do most of my moves in series. So like when I do a move, I almost know what they're going to do before they do it. And then I have two or three moves planned after that if that doesn't work.
Right. So with all that going through your head, because like you said, it's a chess match, so you're constantly thinking. You have all these move sets, and then on top of that, you're thinking about the business. Then on top of that, especially around fight time, it's like, I got to go talk to this guy, do this interview. I got to deal with Russ. Not that's a burden, but you know what I mean? Like, you got to talk. You got all this stuff going on. What do you do to just decompress, man? Like, in your off time, what are you doing to relax?
That's a good question. I mean,
do you have a relaxed mode?
I mean, I enjoy training. So, I mean, that, like, I'm going to Omaha this weekend to go train.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that would be considered my off time, I guess. But, you know, we play a lot of video games at home. I play Smash Brothers. That's my game. but, you know, I just hang out, you know, try to do anything anybody else would do. Like, probably going to go hit up some haunted houses, mm-hmm. or something like that after the fights and enjoy myself. You know, after the fight, I'm not too much of a partier either, but after the fight, you know, we'll throw one big party and then a team party with just the team, and then probably right back on the horse.
Right back to training.
Yep.
All right. Well, there's, you know, excuse me, that the training that you're doing, obviously you have goals set out for yourself. You know, throwing the one big party, then right back to training and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the goal is to hit the major leagues,
mm-hmm.
UFC, Bellator, those types of things where you could be nationally known, internationally known. I know you were, I don't know if you could talk about it or not,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Contender Series.
Yes.
You were working towards that. Then the thing with your brother happened.
Right.
So what does that look like for you going forward at this point?
As far as what my manager says, it's looking really promising as far as postponing that. They're doing seasons of that show now.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll do like, I think it was eight. They did eight straight weeks before. And then they're going to do another 8 weeks here. I'm not sure when they're going to do it. But I'm looking to get back on that show.
Right.
And I'm... From the sounds of it, the matchmaker really wants me on, and their understanding, which is super important.
Yeah, this is a situation where it's not like you're backing out because you didn't make weight or anything like that. So I'm glad they were understanding about that. And I know that that's something that you've brought up a lot of times, and we've talked about it a lot, is that's where you'd like to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, anybody who's doing the sport, and especially doing it professionally and seriously.
Right.
Now, let's say, and you may have thought about this, you may not have, but just out of curiosity where it stands right now, like, let's say you make it to the Contender Series, let's say you make it in, which would be mm-hmm. awesome. Would you then continue to do things here, or would you feel the need to, like, go somewhere else to...
Right. I get asked that a lot, actually, especially when I announced that I had that fight. Everybody's like, oh, when are you leaving? When are you moving?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's not exactly like that. You know, and like I said, there's just so much material out there now as far as the way to learn that I don't have to do that. And that's what's so cool. And you see other people around here, you know, kind of doing their thing. Like Jason Jensen, he's kind of, you know, evolved the Olympic lifting around here. And then there's other people, you know, who that are taking their resources and using them, you know, being resourceful. And that's what I pride myself on. And then I can really cater to my training to where I needs to be. But I'll definitely always, the more money I have, like with the fight, you know, obviously they're paying a whole lot more.
Right.
And I'll be able to train more outside of town. So I'll probably be gone every weekend, you know, because I enjoy seeing new gyms. I enjoy working with new coaches and enjoy training.
Right. And you learn a lot. I mean, the internet's great because you can learn things mm-hmm. by watching videos and stuff. But, and especially with something like MMA, the best way to learn is by doing, because mm-hmm. you can watch a tech. I mean, I can watch, you mm-hmm. know, somebody roundhouse kick some dude in the face a million times, but doing it, no, that's not going to happen. Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's one of the cool things, I think, with the internet. Like you said, you're always learning. You're always evolving with that mm-hmm. and then going to other places. And it's really has made the world kind of a smaller place.
Right.
in the sense that somebody like Dana White, who is dealing with fighters all over and dealing with big personalities and stuff like that, could at the same time have his attention grabbed by somebody in the middle of Nebraska who otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to ever get this guy's attention. He never would have known this guy existed.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, I think it's a definite benefit to everyone for whatever they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that's just goes to show you, like, you know, especially with how he's doing his, you know, Dana White looking for a fight show, and we were trying to bring him out here, you know, and he was at a show and a small regional show in Denver. Yeah, Denver's a bigger city, but, you know, it's not unpromising that we could, you know, have a big superstar like Dana White here and, you know, scout and talent. And that's what's cool. I can bring back these techniques and show it to all my guys. And then we got a room full of killers there, and I eventually want to get like a minivan or a big, you know, travel van so that we could take all the fighters with me, you know, and bring them up, because I know how hard it is to be a fighter financially. You know, if I can take them with me and have them not have to worry about any of that, you know, and just be like, hey, you cover your food and we're going to train for the weekend, you know,
that would be cool.
Then that would be huge for our team. And then the next big goal is getting an affiliate black belt for jiu-jitsu to come down twice a month, put on seminars, and then belt us eventually. Yeah.
Right, right. So you obviously have plans to grow your gym, clearly. Have plans to grow your brand, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you're young. You're able to do this for a long time, so I'm not saying like 5, 10, 15 years, 20 years down the road. Have you thought about what you're going to do then? Because, I mean, Father Time's undefeated.
Right,
you know what I mean? Is the plan to just continue to do the gym, continue to train? I mean, granted, things could happen along the way. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you could end up fighting the best boxer in the world and making hundreds of millions of dollars, then you're chilling on a yacht. Right? Or, you know, or you could end up training just here specifically and stuff. Is this, I mean, this is obviously your set career path, your life path right now.
Yeah. I thought about it the other day, and I don't want to fight. I don't want to be one of those guys that, you know, you're begging them to retire because they love the game so much, which is my personality, but I gave myself, you know, maybe 34, 35. And that's just because of how unforgiving the game is. You take so much head trauma. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be that guy. I pride myself on being a smart guy and being able to learn. And if I'm a walking zombie, then that, you know,
right,
really doesn't help me. But no, as far as what I want to do after that, coaching and coaching world champions. I want to be a world champion myself, but I want to coach multiple world champions because coaching is my second passion, you know, next to fighting and competing.
Right.
But, you know, we had a team meeting the other day, and I was telling the guys, you know, with fighting, let it create something for you. If like Taylor here, he likes to hunt and he likes to do all kinds of that outdoor stuff. You know, if he made a name for himself and he's Taylor McKeeman, UFC's Taylor McKeeman, then look at, you know, like stuff what Luke Cadillo's done. He's got a hunting show.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's kind of an entrepreneur. You know, he's doing all kinds of, he's got his finger in a bunch of different pots and he's enjoying what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So Taylor, would you be open to doing something like that?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love to get paid to hunt.
Yeah.
I think it's that would be great.
Absolutely, it would. I don't think anybody would turn down getting paid to hunt. So,
yeah.
Now, Ryan, something real quick here. I was wondering, because you thought about your future, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever sat and thought, if I wasn't doing this, what would you be – have you ever thought about what you'd be doing if you weren't doing this?
Yeah, I don't – I really don't know. I would – that's a good question. I don't know.
You don't know?
I can't wrap my head around it because, you know, for as long as I've watched fighting, that was always something I wanted to do. Even when I sucked, I was like, God, that could be me. That's so cool. You know, and that was just how it was. And that's from, you know, 17 years old and being in high school. But out, you know, I enjoy cutting hair too. You know, sometimes I'll cut my buddy's hairs and,
okay.
And it's just one of those things that, that was what I was going to do after high school was go to barber school and,
okay.
And yep. And I might still pursue that just to have another, you know.
So would it be something like, I don't know, Ryan McDonald's Quick Cuts TV show? Like, you know, we're talking about the hunting thing and stuff.
Right.
I mean, because I subscribe to the YouTube channel. I mean, you guys have started doing your own YouTube videos and stuff like that. So you never know. You can branch out and start doing people's hair, right?
Yeah, for sure. That would be sweet. You know, do the whole team's heads.
Yeah. Just one day when nobody has a fight so they don't have to be seen in public. They can all shave their head the next day if they want to.
Right.
But that could be a fun thing to do. That would
be cool.
Yeah. You get a little more attention and bring some more positive vibes to the area because there's a lot of – and we've talked about how you've kind of dealt with that with your opponent and, you know, seeing on Facebook and there's people sometimes when you have a fight coming up and stuff. A lot of negativity out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so bringing something positive. Unreal. Yeah.
I back to the question that you asked before, like, I can't tell you how many people tell me that I have to leave. Everybody has their own opinion. They're like, you can't do that from here.
Yeah.
You can't achieve. It's like, look at what I've achieved right now, you know, from right here in North Platte.
Yeah.
Don't limit yourself, you know?
Right.
And before, you know, I believed when people said that, you know, working with the guys out there, I had a conversation with, Top Tier's gym owner, and I was, you know, he told me, he was like, you need to, you've outgrown this gym, you need to go. And I'm like, no, not necessarily, you know. I
yeah, maybe it was an instance where the gym needed to grow with you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I truly believe in, and that's how it is. You know, a lot of time coaching can be stressful when you're showing more advanced techniques. It's obviously harder for the students to learn, but that should never be a reason to stop.
No.
My thing is, if you're in the advanced class, it's sink or swim, you know? If you can't learn it, sorry, you're going back to, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, that's the reality of the world we live in.
Yeah.
If you suck at something, you shouldn't be doing it. You know? And I think, you know, it's interesting that, and not to say that all, you know, or even this person that we're talking about, because I think we're talking about the same person, don't want to call him out or anything, but I don't think he necessarily has that attitude of everybody needs to be the same and everybody gets a participation trophy kind of attitude.
Right.
But as a business owner, you kind of have to weigh the good with the bad, and one of those options is, well, people aren't going to come if they can't do the thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But like you're saying, if you have the thing for them, but if you have the advanced classes, have those for the advanced people. Give people a chance to grow and get bigger. One thing that I always wanted to see, and like you said, they don't really have any active fighters at that other gym, at Top Tier, and not necessarily calling them out in a bad way or anything like that. That's just where they're at right now. But at one point, they did have a lot of active fighters. And I had talked to people about this, and a lot of us thought that it would be fun. And you're nodding your head because you've probably been told that too. It would have been fun to see, in a friendly way, gym versus gym. You know, if you guys had enough people in the same weight classes and stuff like that, I think that would have been kind of fun to see. Do you still think about that and what could have been or what might be and trying to put something like that together?
Yeah, I wish we could. I wish, you know.
Yeah.
All egos aside, I wish we could just compete and then earn the right for, you know, best gym or, you know, you know, bragging rights, whatever it is. But, you know, I've offered many matchups, and we had one made, and then I ended up having to pull my guy out of it, which really sucked because, you know, he wasn't – I'm super strict when it comes to training and fighting. If you're a fighter, you train 5 days a week, and we offer 7 days a week, you know, so – you're in the gym at least 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And that's that, you know, that's the minimum. You have to be at the gym 5 days a week. So, and I had to pull him out of the fight, and, you know, and he hasn't been back since then because, you know, it was one of those things where it was tough and he, I don't think he could handle, you know, if you can't handle the heat, get out the kitchen, you know,
right.
Type of deal. And, you know, I would love that. That was the only matchup they accepted. And I know why. It's because the guy that we tried to match up against had two fights already, and the guy we had was shoot 3 months of training and no debut guy. So
right, and that's and in a way you don't want to throw somebody to the wolves. You don't want to throw them in there to get hurt because, like you said, it's an unpredictable sport. I mean, you watch it, and there has been some changes in MMA that I've noticed too. Changes in rules on striking, especially with knees, elbows, those kinds of things, because those, I mean, that's bone. That's And I've noticed a lot too. When somebody gets knocked out and they're clearly knocked out, the refs will like dive in between the two. Because we've all seen the guy get knocked out, his head hits the mat, which is a big danger. Then you have a dude pounce on him and just start hammer fisting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To seal the win. And it's getting to a point now where it's like, if you're clearly out, like if you're starched, the refs aren't messing around anymore. Yeah. You know, they'll jump in there right away. But still, you don't want to send, even with all those rule changes and stuff, you don't want to send a guy in who's untested just to get murked by some dude so that you can, you know, one gym can prove they're better than the other in some instance or whatever. I think that was a smart move, especially if the guy wasn't training like he should have been.
And my thing, you know, He could have maybe went out there and just based on the athleticism, he was more athletic than the guy that we were putting him against. And I had trained with both of them, so I was, you know, I was comfortable with it. And I was like, you know, even if he does, like, it would be a close contested fight. And if he did happen to lose, then I was like, oh, well, you know, we actually made one fight happen.
Yeah.
You know, we tried to make a million other fights happen, but, you know, and not on my end did I turn it out. You know, I was all gung-ho about it.
Right.
But it just, you know, didn't work out. And for me, I was just, like, pushing, you know, that fight and was excited about it because maybe, you know, it opened the door. But
yeah.
But no, and it's kind of an insult when you're not training hard, you know. And it's not the fact that, you know, he couldn't have won because, like I said, he might have. But
yeah.
If you're disrespecting the gym and you're disrespecting the other guys that are the million, you know, we got a bunch of guys that I haven't let fought, you know, because they're not quite there yet, you know, and that's why, you know, sometimes I'll have some of these guys that Russ throws in the, you know, street fights. They'll come to me and they'll be like, hey, train me for this fight. I'm like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell them you can come train at our gym and you can see what it's like to get beat up, but you're not going to represent us.
Yeah.
You know, and you can come learn from us and you can come spar and do whatever, but you're, like I said, you're not going to represent us because you didn't earn it. And that's a huge thing in our gym is you have to earn it. And every one of our coaches, Adam Lee, me, Braden, he's our fundamentals coach, and then Taylor, he's our cardio kickboxing coach. You know, it has to be ran by all of us to make sure that they're ready.
You know? Absolutely. Well, like you said, it's that back and forth. Like you're a fighter, obviously, so you need to represent yourself and your individual brand. You need to represent Ryan McDonald. At the same time, 6'9" one-on-one, you have to represent that because that's your business, and you don't want to send somebody out there. And there's a difference between sending a guy out there who's trained, who's ready, who happens to lose. At least he put his best. But I know what you're talking about. They're basically the dark matches at the beginning of the fights, and I mean, it's just it's just dudes windmilling at each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure it's entertaining for some folks and not enough, you know, if that's what Russ wants to do, that's his thing.
Yeah.
But there's times I'm watching, and I'm like, God dang, man, put up your guard.
I don't know why he doesn't just send those fights to the gym and, you know, get his fun out and come watch it at the gym. We could have him sign waivers. We could have him spot, you know, a whole on unsanctioned fight. You could put on MMA gloves. I've done it before. When two people don't like each other.
Yeah.
You know, we've done it multiple times. You know, Taylor had some buddies in high school that we brought in and they hated each other. We made them put on MMA gloves. We even Vaseline their face.
Yeah.
You know, and
got them ready.
And they got down and that's happened on, you know, a couple different occasions. So, you know, and I hate to spoil Russ's news here, but I think his next endeavor is he wants to, two of the guys that he represents in court for assaults, like a mutual, if he gets any mutual assault charges, he's going to put them in the cage and do it again, but he's going to represent them for free if they fight for him. And I think that's a little bit of a better idea. I mean, but just it's just not. And they have to know that they're not fighters. That's the, you know, because – if they get this, you know, false confidence because they do get a win over some guy on the street, then they come into my gym and think they're hot stuff and get hurt because they're trying to hurt one of my guys, you know.
That's, right. Walk in like they're an undefeated fighter.
Yeah, that, seriously, that's an issue because then they get beat up by Taylor and I'm right. over here like, easy now.
Right, like, oh, you're undefeated here, sign this. This yeah. is a waiver. All right. Speaking of that kind of thing, are you ever out and about? And like you said, you don't party that much or anything, but every once in a while you got to go out, you know, and mm-hmm. hang out with your friends and stuff.
Yep.
And Taylor, you may have run into this too, if anybody knows that you're a fighter or a trainer. Has anybody just come up and, I could take you, dude. Like, has anybody ever tested you and how'd that end up?
This happens, you know, quite a bit. Taylor, he fought a guy that I wouldn't even call an actual fighter, like an actual mixed martial artist. Yeah. But then he, two or three fights later, he was still undefeated and this same cat was like, I would kill him now. And he lost a fight to him already.
Yeah.
And he wasn't training. And he's like, I would kill him now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. People out there honestly don't know what a mixed martial artist could do to you. We're very, very dangerous people.
Yeah.
How vulnerable they are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and, you know, it's funny. Cause like I hear about all the fights that happen at the bar and you know, Eddie Delso, he came over to the gym the other day and he was like, I just got an assault charge. And I was like, what? And I was like, how come none of that stuff happens when I'm around?
Yeah. Weird.
I wonder why, you know,
weird.
But
yeah. Cause I mean, I'm a big guy. I probably weigh more than both of you two together. We're not going to compare that right now, but but there is no way in hell, knowing what you're capable of, not that I would ever mess with anybody smaller than me anyway, but there is no way in hell I'm walking up to you and talking crap because I've seen you in the ring.
Right.
You know what I mean? I know what you could do. I mean, there's something about that mix of alcohol and being out and knowing somebody else is a fighter and thinking, oh, I could take that dude. Mm-hmm. I can do it, man. And no. No, you can't.
If we had equal skill sets, would I fight you? Hell no.
Right.
Never. You know, you're much bigger.
So, right.
You know, and that's important to know, too. You know, weight classes are there for a reason, but the technique and skills there for a reason.
Right.
But, yeah, like, there's guys like that all the time, get drunk and rowdy and think they're tough. It's some of the most comical stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gotten to a fight since I've been fighting, like right. in a street altercation. Like, I've been in altercations, but never got down into a fight, you know.
Right.
And I'd be lying if I said I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I do just to, you know, kind of shut people up sometimes, you know, because uh-huh. I hear the that's not a street fight. I hate that.
Yeah.
That disturbs me the most, because if I know what I can't do to you in the cage, I'm aware of what's really dangerous for your health, and I know I can do it in a street fight.
Yeah.
And exactly. I know how to get there to perform whatever I can't do in a cage fight.
Yeah.
You know, so that's it's a crazy thing. Like, let's say, for instance, knees to the head on a grounded opponent. You know, I know how to get you to the ground.
Uh-huh.
And I know how to get into a position we call north-south, which is just knees straight to the skull.
Yeah.
Like, that's a terrible one. And then there's knees, you know, from all kinds of different places that aren't allowed,
mm-hmm.
you know, in MMA. And 12 to 6 elbows. I always wanted to do the – I don't know if you watch any of the Ung Bak movies. It's like a Muay Thai.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But he jumps up on this guy and he grabs his head and he spikes him with an elbow straight on the top of his skull.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I've seen that.
It's awesome.
Like, and you wish you could do it, but you can't.
I'm aware I can't do it in a cage, but.
But you can do that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. That's what makes an MMA fighter even more dangerous outside of the cage, because in the cage, you've got rules, you've got fines, mm-hmm. you've got the reputation, because right. nobody's going to book you if you're a dirty fighter, all that kind right. of stuff. But outside, if you're if you're hanging out at the bar and some guy who's drunk's like, "Why are you looking at my woman?" then you don't have to worry about rules. You do have to worry about, you know, arrests.
The two main ones are the back of the head strikes.
Uh-huh.
And then spine. Spine stuff.
Yeah.
You can really paralyze the guy. And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just silly. It's a silly mindset. I always, you know, I always was aware because I had watched fights and my dad was a big boxing fan that, you know, never mess with those guys, you know, and pay the respects. And, you know, that's why I wanted to train so bad. And even when I see this in training, you get guys who will come up and then they're just like the worst type of learners. They won't learn from you. They're like, oh yeah, I know. And it's like, you obviously don't know because you're here.
Yeah. You know,
why else would you be here? And then like, it's just a crazy mindset to come into an MMA gym with the thought that you know everything.
Yeah.
It's like, every day I let my ego go. Even if I'm coaching, I'm like, if somebody was to call me out and before I show it or after I show a technique, I'll be like, any questions about this, you know, anything I can help you with? And then, you know, guys will say yes or no, shake their head or whatever, and then we'll do our breakdown. And if they ask me a question or if they completely stump me, I'm like, well, you got a good point there, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen much, but you got a good point there. Listen to him, you know, and then
exactly.
We'll drill it accordingly, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important, too, in a situation like that when you're teaching and learning to not have an ego of, nope, it's my way. This is how it is, you know, because like you said, you always have to learn and change. And
there is a lot of coaches that believe it's this way or no way.
Yeah.
And I'm the complete opposite. You know, I have my firm beliefs, but I'm willing to change and mix things. Like if I can show you something, but if you can add a little thing to it that tweaks it and makes it better for your body type and it works, as long as it works, do it. You know,
absolutely.
I'll never tell you no.
Awesome, man. That's a great way to teach, I think, to learn and teach at the same time like you're doing. So now we were talking about guys coming up in the bar, squaring up on you, that kind of thing. Do you find because you have this skill set, do you find you have to control your temper more than you normally would?
Sometimes. You know, sometimes people, they don't. Like, again, they don't pay the respects and they don't give you, they kind of, yeah, they don't respect it. And I hear this one a lot. Oh, I could do that. Well, okay. Well, you don't know how much effort I've put into it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how hard that one bugs me the most, you know, when a guy's like, oh, I could do that and I could get to where you're at. And it's like, people don't realize I've been doing martial arts for about 8 years now.
Yeah.
And that's a long time, you know, and that's, you don't just get to the professional level by just, you know, not, you know, half-assing it or hardly training. You know, it's a lot of work and you have to, there's a lot of ups and downs. You know, there's been times in my career where I'm like, people are asking me, are you going to quit? You lost 3 fights in a row. What's going on? I'm like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
That, and never did I, you know, I thought, you know, there could be, no success in competition, but never was I like, no, I'm gonna stop martial arts because it's just what I love to do. Mm-hmm. There's not a week that goes by that I don't train, because if I did, I would be that much more aggressive.
Right.
Like it's if you can think of one thing you have to do every day, if some people are drinking coffee in the morning, some people are, you know, smoking their cigarette, and that's what gets them by, you know. This is what gets me by,
right.
I feel, you know.
Well, and I think that I could do that. You know what I mean? There's that attitude. Everybody has that attitude about a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Like any of us sitting in this room could probably put the other one in a rear naked choke. The difference is I could put you guys in a rear naked choke if you allowed me to walk behind you, put my arm around your neck. You know what I mean? Like anybody can put somebody else in a rear naked choke, but can you get somebody in it? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that. And that's, I think, what some people, they see the end result of the move or the strike or whatever. Oh, I could do that. And I've had people, like even this, people are like, oh, I could do what you do. I can get on and talk. Yeah, you probably could. And to those people, I think the best motivation to them is then do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're, because I used to be that guy when, in regard to this, and I'm sure you guys have had this in regard to watching MMA or UFC or Bellator or whatever. You're watching like, oh, I could do that. But mm-hmm. the difference between that and the other guy is you did do it. You mm-hmm. got up off yep. your ass, you went and did it.
Right, yeah.
Because I'd sit there and listen to the radio like, I could do that. Well, yeah. I got my opportunity and I did it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that, and I guess that's a great message to anybody out there. If you're listening or you're thinking to yourself, oh, I could do that, whatever it is. Then go do, and with all sincerity, not like, a, oh, go do it so you can fail. Like, get up yeah. off your ass and go do it then.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I mean, because
I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
Come to the gym.
Exactly. Right. Like,
I'll assist you in that.
Yeah. Like process. We've had so many people come through, interns and stuff like that come through here. Mm-hmm. Even like Tristan, you know, Tristan,
yep.
You know, other guys that are like new to this, that I have no problem coaching them, helping them out, showing them where to, you know, how to mm-hmm. do things. Cause I want them to succeed.
Yeah.
It's not a fail. I'm not saying get up and go do it so you can fail. I want you to be better than the next guy at this. You
this
know what I mean?
Great,
so everybody
this
grows.
This is a great story for you. Just to, you know, have a little bragging rights for yourself.
okay.
My buddy Waylon.
Yeah.
I told him that I was coming on your show or whatnot. And he yeah. was like, dude, I have to come with you. He's like, that's all he listens to is Rock 100. And he's yeah. like, dude, I want to meet Jerome. You're like famous to him.
Oh my God.
And I was like, yeah, he's great at what he does, isn't he? He's like, yeah, dude, he's awesome.
Well, I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I do.
For sure.
See, and I've been told that from people. And I think it's hard to convey, especially over the air,
mm-hmm.
how appreciative I am of people who listen, because right. I don't live in a bubble. I know they've got a choice. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And I really do appreciate people who choose to listen to my idiocy, because I'm like always thinking I can do better. Like, I'm not one of those after a show, I'm like, nailed it, done, drop mic, walk away. After every show, I was like, how did I screw up today? Like, I am more critical of myself than anybody
you're not
out
a
there.
Narcissist.
No.
By any me.
Anybody out there who's ever, I mean, who's ever criticized me, who's ever said something bad, say I suck, whatever. And I actually had one dude at a liquor store one night totally caught me off guard. I had no idea what the hell to say. He recognized my voice, spun around and talked. I mean, just fucking dressed me down, man. Like, talked about how I suck and nobody
oh,
likes
wow.
you and all this other shit. And I just stared at him. I was like, the hell, man, where's this guy? Like, where on the, show me on the doll where I hurt you. Cause, and
yeah.
I'm sure you get that sometimes too. Like how people talk about how you suck and you're not good
oh,
enough
yeah.
and all that. And it's just one of those things where you're just like, okay, but to anybody out there who's ever said that about me or to me or whatever, know that I have said 10 times worse to myself. I am my
yeah.
biggest critic.
Yep.
And I think that's how a person grows.
Yeah.
You know, have you like,
oh yeah, I've experienced a lot of that is, but it's especially in Nebraska, it's kind of a cock competition where like it is, if you're not in the big leagues, like everybody sees you, even if you're outside of their weight class, they're like, oh, he sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's the cool guys like us who can get along and be like, yeah, they're pay their respects to the other guy. Oh, you're doing your thing, you know? But then once you get to the UFC, like I noticed it, shoot, I went to events in Kearney and events in Omaha and everybody's like, oh, dude, Contender Series? Hell yeah. And this is guys that were calling me a pussy and saying
yeah.
I couldn't fight, you know? And I hear all this because, of course, they're not saying it to my face, but I, you know, somebody will come up and tell me, yeah, this guy called you a pussy. And then when it gets announced, then they're
yeah.
like, oh man, heck yeah.
Yeah.
You know, congratulations. And then even around here, like I heard the other day in the barbershop, my name was brought up and said that I'm fed opponents. And this is guys who don't even fight.
Yeah.
And they say that I've been fed opponents. They don't even know what my opponents would do to them.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. Even if, you know, and I don't think you're fed opponents.
Right, right.
I've actually heard that, like, when mm-hmm. some fights have come up and,
yep.
you know, I hear people talking about it. Thing is, even if you're fed an opponent, even if somebody goes, all right, well, we're going to pick this guy. Ryan should beat him easily. We're going to throw him in there to make, you know, there's still the lucky shot,
mm-hmm.
the injury. You throw a kick and your leg doesn't rotate right and you tweak your knee.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it happen.
Yep.
I mean, it happens to people on every level.
Mm-hmm.
So to say, I mean, that even then you're fed opponents, that's just kind
right.
of a ridiculous
There's a blueprint to how you get to the highest level, and some people choose to follow it, and some people choose to steer clear of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like my fight, the guys that I fought, there's only one guy I've fought and beat that has a losing record, and that was my pro debut. Mm-hmm. And everybody from on there, it's all ranked.
Yeah,
and they all have wins, like more wins than they have losses. You know, Chad, I don't think his record is what it says online, because when we fought last time, I think they announced him as something like 15-8, 14-8, okay. And they got him online at 11-8.
Something
like that. But that's still that's a lot of a fights, you know,
yeah.
and that's a lot of wins.
Mm-hmm.
And like he has the win, he has a win over Nebraska's number one featherweight,
yeah,
and Derek Minner, and. And it's just like, you know, and all my Cody Land, you know, that was a huge win for me. He was on the Ultimate Fighter. He was a, what do you call it? Alternate. Yep, on the Ultimate Fighter. So if somebody would have missed weight, he would have been on the Ultimate Fighter. So it's like to say that I'm fed opponents.
Yeah.
You know, regionally, these are the guys that we could get.
Yeah.
You know, and
these are the guys that are around.
These were the guys that were ranked ahead of me at the time.
Right.
And also from another end of the spectrum, people would be like, this guy's gonna beat him. And then when I beat him, they're like, oh, he was past his time, he's a pussy, he's fed opponents. And I'm like, what? This was the same guy that was supposed to beat me. Because, and beforehand I heard, oh yeah, Obermiller's a real man, he's tough, he hits hard, he's a real fighter, he's not a point fighter. And that's, you know, that's how people were saying, oh, he's gonna beat McDonald. Shoot, somebody at a tattoo shop bet $100 against me.
Really?
And against profit.
Huh.
Lost their $100 real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't. Yeah. So. I'm not a betting person because I have what I love to call the Windecker luck, and my family is terrible when it comes to gambling. Like every time my uncle would go to Vegas with my grandpa, we would take bets at home. Is it going to be the fan belt, or is it going to be like a radiator hose that blew that they need $100 to fix to get home, you know? But yeah, I wouldn't bet against you, man. I think you're going to do a great job. Yeah, no problem. Tanner's got to get in studio, so we are running out of time. So we got to wrap this up. But Ryan, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you.
And Taylor, hopefully we can get you in sometime and maybe just talk with you a little bit. But thank you for coming in. Yeah, thank you both for coming in. And get your tickets, Midwest Championship Fighting. It's October 21st at the DNN Event Center. You can pick up your tickets at cagetix.com. I know they got general admission still available. I think there may be some table in VIP left. I haven't seen, but last time I checked, I believe there was. So you can pick those up and check out Ryan McDonald, the main event in the main event. Ryan and Obermiller 2, second time. So, and if you want more information about Ryan's gym, find him at 691-on-1 MMA gym in North Platte. Ryan and Taylor, thanks guys so much for coming in.
Heck yeah, thanks so much.
Yep,